This morning we were in the book of Ecclesiastes, and tonight let's stay in the book of Ecclesiastes. Only let's turn to, instead of chapter 3, let's turn to chapter 11. Chapter 11. The book of Ecclesiastes was written by the wisest man in the world. So we can benefit from that if we listen and if we do what he suggests. During his lifetime, he gave good advice, and it had a depth of meaning that few will find. Since we're in the book of Ecclesiastes, I thought it might be interesting for this evening service to continue to see if we can learn any more that might help us. So let's see what we can find in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Now, a lot of these verses are going to sound familiar, and there's a reason for that. You hear them off and on. Let's start with verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. This simple verse has many interpretations. One of the first is that the planter, the farmer, is required to withhold some of the grain being harvested from his family so that he will have future grain to plant for the following year to come. So for that reason, he withholds from his family grain that they could eat and sometimes might want to eat. He does not withhold the grain from them to punish them, but to be able to provide for them in future years. If they're permitted to consume all of the grain when it's harvested, then there will be no seed for future years. Now, folks, that has a very real interpretation for us, a very real application. What are you hearing on the news about the state of the economy? People are living from paycheck to paycheck. That's what Solomon is talking about. And that's why the economy is actually headed downhill. It's not going uphill. It's getting worse and worse. It will not be long before people cannot live. In fact, some of them are not living from paycheck to paycheck now. They're putting it on credit cards, and the credit card bill is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. See how practical the Bible is? Solomon lived through almost 3,000 years ago, and yet he could tell us what was going to be happening today. And that is, the Bible is just such a wonderful book to see. The wisdom of Solomon teaches this truth to those who are living from payday to payday. And what he is telling them is that if they want to prosper, if they want to be able to exist in the years to come, they must put some aside. There are several different passages that apply to this practice of casting our bread upon the waters. One of them is Galatians 6, verses 7 through 10. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. So here in Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us that we need to plan ahead We need to plan ahead, not just let life take us along with it, but plan ahead as to what we are going to do with our life. I've included a few verses here that we can connect them to what Solomon is telling us in this chapter. To cast it upon the waters means to sow it for the future, so that it could be found next time that the harvest should be received. It takes time for seed to be prepared to sow. Have you ever taken a seed of something and planted it at something you're eating, like a fruit and a peach pit or something? Planted it, didn't grow, did it? Mine didn't, because you have to let seed go through a process. Seed has to dry out and die in order to be germinated when the next water hits it. And so when he's talking about the waters, he's talking about God preparing the situation for us. To cast it upon the waters means to sow it for the future. So you let it dry out, you prepare the ground, then you plant the seed, and you don't harvest it the next day. You harvest it in a future time. It takes time for things to develop, for things to grow and mature. If nothing is set aside from the planting of the present time, there will be no future harvest. If nothing is set aside from our plantings and our harvest for future times, there will be no harvest in the future. It takes time for seed to dry out and germinate and grow and be mature for harvesting. If nothing is set aside, there will be no harvest. And folks, that's how people are living day to day, paycheck to paycheck, crisis to crisis. So, the next few verses are relevant to all that we are talking about. And I hope that you will see just how this all fits together. One of the marvelous things about the Bible is that it all fits together so well. It doesn't contradict itself. What you read in the Old Testament, you're going to read the same principle in the New. Ecclesiastes 11:2. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. What are we commanded to do here that gets overlooked by many? Solomon is saying, don't be stingy. Don't be stingy. If you have it, give it to those who are less fortunate. Don't be satisfied giving to just one, but give to all who have a need, all that you're aware of. And after you've given to them, give it to meet someone else who has a need. It talks about seven and then eight people. So in other words, you and I are to go through life ministering to others, sharing with them what God has given us to share. And we will have an opportunity on this trip, I believe, to witness, to share our thoughts and our information of what we know about the Bible. I'm looking forward to it. I need to ask a question. Do you think that God gave what he has given to you for you to hoard? I don't think so either. God blesses you, and he blesses you so you can be a blessing to others. You will see in just a few minutes what Solomon is actually instructing us to do. We'll not have a single penny with us when we leave this earth. So might as well use it while we can. Let's invest it for the Lord while we're here. Not saving it up for some future day, or some future need that we imagine may come along. We will not take a penny with us. We should be investing what the Lord has provided to us in the lives of others. We are to show our love for others by giving to them a portion of what we have been given. I've heard people say that they want to provide for their family members after they're gone. Can God not make that provision? Can he not provide for them? Why has he given you what he has given you? He has done it so that you can minister to others and share with others. So Solomon is saying, don't be stingy with your generosity. Now, this is an interesting verse, Ecclesiastes 11:3. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall towards the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now, what is that all about? Who causes the rain to fall and the trees to fall in the forest? God uses rain as a judgment upon mankind. Excuse me. He uses the rain for mankind. Sometimes he withholds it as punishment. Sometimes he provides an awful lot of it, same reason. These floods that occur around the nation, are they by accident? Are they the work of God? Or are they work of the devil? Now you need to think about that. Is that God trying to bring man in line with himself? Who are you going to call to if you're in a flood, if you need rescuing? Are you going to call to the devil? No, you're going to call to God. And sometimes he brings challenges. Bobby was talking about it this morning. And the challenges that come into people's lives, every challenge you have, God is using to mold you into the person of Jesus Christ, because you're going to live in him one day. Ecclesiastes 11:4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Do you know what this verse tells me? It tells me that men think they can control the weather. They actually think they can. And they can save the world by the things that they do and codify, make laws about. There are some that have reported that the world will end in 12 years. That was 5 years ago. And I don't think they were correct. I would say that AOC is just a little proud and out of touch with God. Those who try and tell you that we have to save the planet, we can't save the planet, folks. It's a God's. He made it. And one day he'll make it again. She's definitely one of the people that Solomon was talking about here, who watches the weather and think that they can control it. Verse 5 shows us just how ignorant we all are when it comes to life. Ecclesiastes 11:5. And thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God, who maketh all. with all the science we have today, you would think we'd understand all these things, but we don't. The one thing that I know that I learned in college many years ago was that there are chromosomes, and all of the information for you is in the chromosomes that were in that first cell that was you at conception. It told you everything about the bones, the mind, the eyes, the hair, everything. God put it all in that little tiny chromosome. And man knows nothing about it. He's still studying it. They're still talking about dinosaurs being millions of years old when God made everything just 6,000 years ago. So, think about how the Spirit works in our life. We don't know where He might lead us or how He might use us if we let Him. Also, even with all the science and education, we do not understand exactly how a baby grows in its mother's womb. Most of the time, that cell formed at conception has all the information within it to guide. How does a mother grow bones when she doesn't eat any bones? How does a baby in the womb grow hair? Some are like AB and Jimmy. When they're born, and some have lots of long, dark hair. God is in control of all that, not us. And we need to remember that God is behind all of it. And so it shouldn't be a great mystery to us to trust Him to take care of things. Who's responsible other than God for babies? And folks, as a church, this is not in my notes, but as a church, we should all be taking a very strong stand against abortion. Because how did God create man? In His image. And they are slaughtering millions of children every year. And we should take a position on that, folks. We really should. That this is anti-God. This is murder of the unborn. Ecclesiastes 11:6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Sow thy seed in the morning, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. If God gives you something to do, do it early. Start it early. And at the end of the day, don't turn away from other opportunities He gives us. There will be times when you will be called upon to do something at night, to help a friend, to drive maybe 200 miles and help them because they've broken down alongside the road someplace and they've called you because you're the one they think can help them. You guys have done some of that. All of us have. And maybe some, you ladies, maybe some woman will call you and say, I need help, or I need somebody to be with me right now. Go, even if it is in the evening and you're going to miss some sleep. So in the morning, do what God has given you to do that day. In the evening, don't refrain from doing what He gives you another opportunity to do. Now, we don't know the future. So how are we supposed to respond when we have to trust God for the outcome? Will God give success or will He cause us to fail? It all depends on what his will is for the one trusting him or believing in him. Keep in mind that these statements are coming from the wisest man on earth here in Ecclesiastes. And at this point in his life, he was listening to and walking with God. These statements are statements that God can bless, statements that God can use. It was later when he began to get messed up with more and more women that he abandoned all the wisdom that he had acquired. If we're to succeed, then we have to continually stay in the will of God. Now, part of the seed sowing is the implementing of charity to those around us. We live in a world where evil prospers, and it becomes harder and harder to differentiate between the two, between evil and good. According to Solomon, we should continue to show kindness in the form of charity to as many of those around us as we can. This might mean giving larger sums of our income to those in need. Has anyone ever done something kind for you? Has anyone ever given you something you totally did not expect? As you serve God, the closer you get, or the more you serve him, the more opportunity he's going to have to bless you. He really is. I had a man, and I've mentioned it here, I had a man when Connie and I were in the camp ministry down in Rio Grande Valley of Texas. Walk on, I'd never met him. I didn't know who he was. I showed him around. He left. And then he gave me $440,000. Yes, $440,000 to build a new building. God wants to do that for each one of you. He's capable of doing that for each one of you because everything in this world is his. You just have to be in the right place at the right time. When we got the first check, I was under a tractor. We had a pit in our shop, and I was down in the pit working on the bottom of the tractor, and Connie came out to me, and she said, "You want to guess how much this check is for?" And it was in a plain little dinky envelope, and it was a personal check, and she started sliding it out, and there was a one and a two and a five and a zero and a zero and a zero for $125,000. God will do that for you. He'll do that for our church. That's why we're making some of the investments like we are this coming week. God has provided the money to some of you he has not, but he's provided for you. And so that's what we're doing. We're investing in improving things around here and making it look better because it tells us to avoid the appearance of evil. And so if we can make this church look better, we should be doing that. You know, many people deny God their chance to do what he wants to for them. They don't believe he'll do it. They don't have faith in him. At this point in Solomon's contemplation, we change the thinking process. Something in Solomon's attitude changes here halfway through this chapter. Ecclesiastes 11, 7 and 8. He says, "Truly, the light is sweet, and the pleasant thing is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that comes is vanity. Folks, no matter what comes into your life, as long as you are alive, as long as you are living it, enjoy it. Things happen. Good things, bad things. God is in control. Just like Job. Job hadn't done anything wrong. Job had pleased God. Job had worshiped God. Job had even, if there was a chance that his children did something wrong, he went ahead and made offerings for them and sacrifices for them. Job had done nothing wrong. And Satan was permitted to attack him, to bring into his life the most wicked things you can imagine. First, he lost all of his family. What a loss. All but his wife, his nagging wife. And then he lost everything he possessed. And still, he did not curse God. He did not blame God. I'm sure he was wondering, God, what have I done? And then he lost his health. And he was miserable. And yet, he had not done anything, would we say, to deserve it? Job was a man. He sinned, just like all of us do. And yet, he was faithful to God. We need to be faithful to God. I am watching God work in my life, and I'm watching him work in some of your lives. As things are coming up, situations are developing. God is permitting it. Jimmy and I love Romans 8:28 because it's always going to be there. And all things work together. So whatever is going on in your life, it's working together for your good. If you love God and if you are called according to his purpose. It says, truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing for the eyes is to behold the sun. Now we can't stand out there and look at the sun. It'll blind us. But isn't it nice? I can't help but smile when I put up the shades in the morning and I look out there and the sun is shining. And that's a good thing. And God is doing that, folks. God is doing that. Now we're addressing older age. We all enjoy the sun. And we glory in it. Unless you're in the middle of a desert, it's not so good out there. Then the sun is a bad thing. When we're in the light of youth, we need to keep in mind that there is a day coming when a man will not be able to do what he once did. And it goes back to verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters, and there will be a time when what you have cast on the waters will come back to you. That's what the verse is telling us. A man's eyes will not be as sharp as they used to be. His vision may not be as clear, and his life might become dark because of health problems. As a man gets older, he loses his strength and his ability to accomplish all of the things he did when he was younger. The bad days will eventually outnumber the good days. And that is just the way that it is. And at that point, you can call out to God and you can tell him, Father, I'm at the end of my rope. There's not even enough room to tie a knot in it. But Father, I can't take any more. And he will not pour out any more. He will bless you. He will take care of you. He really will. As you, I know I've been going through some things, and you don't want to hear about me, you want to hear about Jesus Christ. But God has been interceding in my life for these last several months. And every time I think it can't get worse, it does. And every time I think, well, what am I going to do now? God does something. Something you just don't imagine. And He wants to bless you. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you happy. And I hope that as we make this trip this week, those of us who go on it, that you will come back filled with joy. Joy of seeing some of the things that God has done. And I've already told some of you about it. In the bottom, in the basement of the bottom level of the Creation Museum, just off the place where you can buy food and eat, their tables set up to eat and things, there is a room. Overall, it's about half, maybe where the curtains are, the size of this room. In it, for me, it was most fascinating. I don't know what Gabby thought about it, but it is full of bugs, insects, butterflies, beetles, dragonflies, gnats, flies, just every kind of little creature you can find. Beetles, some of the beetles are this big or bigger. Go there. Look at what God has made. And every one of these things had a purpose. Okay? As man gets older, his abilities go away. It's just the way that it is. At that point, much of what was being done in youth becomes vain and meaningless. What did you do people will remember you for? Is there something? It's not something the people in New York know anything about. So don't just do what God gives you to do. Ecclesiastes 11:9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Live for God. Fulfill God's purpose for you. When we're young, we lack the wisdom that comes with age. There are many times that I have thought to myself, I wish I knew that when I was 20 years old. Have you, anybody here ever not thought that? As we get older, we have less time and more to do in that time. Life seems to get faster and faster. With age, unfortunately, we gain responsibilities. And those require more and more resources. It's hard to give to others, and the requests seem to come so much more often. This is a time when everyone wants something from you. And you usually, it's money that they want, your money. The older that you get, the harder it gets to keep up with all the requests and demands. You want to help, but you just don't have what you had previously. That brings us to verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Childhood and youth are vanity. Solomon did most of the things that he wanted when he was younger. he came to the conclusion that all of it was vanity. There was only one thing that was not vain or meaningless, and that is what was done for God. What Solomon did for God was not vain. Throughout this book of Ecclesiastes, he tells us that pleasing God is all that matters. What was done for man was of no value. As a younger person, only one thing was of any value, and that was what he did for the Lord God. Paul had a similar philosophy when he said in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Stay in the word, and you will not waste your time. Time spent in the word of God will never, ever be vain. It will be profitable for all of us. It will be our resources. It will be our life. Only what's done for God will last. Father, we want to serve you. We want to do those things that you would have us to do. Father, use us. Use us as a ministry, as a church, as a family. Help us to accomplish things that will bring glory to you. Help us to do the things that Jesus Christ wants us to do. May we proclaim his name wherever we go. And Father, may you be pleased, may you be glorified by everything that is said and done. And we will praise you for all the things you do in our lives, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.